John chapter number 5. We're making our way through the Gospel of John. I think we'll finish chapter 5 today, Lord willing. And we're going to talk about the five witnesses as to the deity of Christ. There's five witnesses that is pointed out in this chapter that testify as to who Jesus is and the fact that he is who he said he was. And so I'll do some review. Let me read the portion of scripture first, John chapter number 5. Let me get there. And we'll get down towards the end of the chapter. But there's five different witnesses, and we'll talk about what that means. What do you mean witnesses? What's that mean? John chapter number 5, and if you'll notice in verse number 31, John chapter 5, verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Verse 37, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, for ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. In verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do ye not think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me, verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that there are all of these evidences and all of these witnesses. Lord, it's good for us to visit this from time to time. Lord, there is more than enough evidence that Christ is who he said he was. And Lord, pray, dear God, as we listen to these witnesses this morning, that we'll take heed and have our faith affirmed in the deity of Christ, that he's not only the Son of God, but God the Son, and Lord, that he had, Lord, according to his own words, witnesses that bear testimony as to who he was. And so I pray, Lord, that Christ would be exalted as we teach today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, John chapter 5. Quick review. First of all, he showed up in Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews, verse number 1. And then there's the healing there of the impotent man, the crippled man. And, of course, you would think that healing would cause people to rejoice and cause people to believe in Jesus Christ, that he truly was the Son of God. And some did believe, but unfortunately, it gendered more criticism by the Jewish leadership than it did any of them willing to embrace him as the Messiah. So the Jews in verse number 10, they begin to criticize him because he performed this on the Sabbath day. And they begin to cross-question this Jewish man that had been healed. And who healed you? And of course, at first, he didn't know who it was. Later on, Jesus found him and told him that it was him, the Messiah, that had healed him. And so he came back and told them. And of course, then they go after Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they determined from that point on, verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, again, I'm not going to reteach this part, but it just blows my mind. You know, folks, here a man that was crippled, 38 years he'd waited by that pool for the stirring of the water. 38 years he'd been in that condition. Jesus comes and simply tells him, take up your bed and walk, and he does so. And you think everybody would rejoice. But there's some folks that no matter what good God does, they're going to find something to criticize, something to complain about. And we talked about that. Listen, everybody knows a person like this in your life. I mean, no matter what good thing happens, they've got to bring up something negative. Now, listen, I can't live their lives for them, and a lot of times I can't change who they are, but I sure don't want to be that. Okay, have you ever said, notice, by the way, have you noticed that the leaves are about as perfect as they're going to get? I mean, it is on right now. So yesterday I say to a man, can you believe how beautiful this is? Yeah, but you know what's coming next. Can you just let me enjoy this, okay? I mean, yeah, next, maybe 2 months from now, but can we just, and there's folks, no matter what you point out, that I think points to the grace of God and the generosity of God and the goodness of God, they got to find something to undermine it. And there was a group of Jews that followed Jesus around. And no matter what he did that was miraculous and helpful, and no matter how many people he helped, they had to find one little thing to criticize. And so he begins to answer them, and we talked about how he aligned himself strongly to the Father. And this is angering them. So that a couple different times in this portion of scripture, it is mentioned that they are now planning to kill him. And this is what I want to get to, because I don't want to spend a lot of time. We're going to have to get through fivefold witness of Christ today. So that's the chapter there so far. And so Jesus begins to prove to them by calling witnesses on his behalf, prove to them that he is the Christ. And he's like, if you don't want to believe me, then believe the other witnesses. And at first they didn't know what he was talking about. I want to back up. I started in verse number 31, and it says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now let me back up, because we need to read the background before that. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, when he says in verse number 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, what he's referring to is an Old Testament principle that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. It doesn't mean that because he said it, it's not true, but according to Jewish law, a man that says it without anybody else agreeing with it, anybody that brings testimony, but there's not somebody else that collaborates that testimony, then that person is not to be believed on his word alone. It doesn't mean that he's lying. It just simply means that sometimes a person can say whatever he wants to, but anybody can lie, could potentially lie. And so in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. And so he's not discounting his own testimony. And he has given testimony to who he is. If you look back up in verse number 17, so the first fivefold witness of Christ, who's the first person that tells us who he is? Jesus himself. Verse 17, look back. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus is testifying, yes, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of my Father. So he is giving witness to who he was. I won't have you turn there, but over in John chapter 10, we'll eventually get there. He says this, I and my Father are one. And the Jews, verse 31, took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And again, he's testifying of himself. I and my Father are one. He is his first witness. Now, folks, if you're going to believe anybody as a witness, I would think we ought to believe Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I say this? That should have been enough. Amen. That should have been enough. But he said, you know what? If I was the only one saying it, then maybe my witness isn't true. So I'm going to call four other witnesses beside myself, and that will bring five altogether, including himself, that I am who I say that I am. So Jesus himself is the first witness. And then we see in the scriptures here, verse 32 through 35, he brings up John the Baptist. Verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. So he says, all right, I'm going to bring five witnesses, and you've interacted with all of these, and you've heard all of them. Now, are you going to believe five witnesses? You know, folks, I'm telling you, I don't care what case you're trying in court. If you can call five witnesses to collaborate what the prosecution is trying to prove, that's a pretty strong case. Amen. Okay, and so he said, I'm telling you, first of all, that I'll be my own witness. Now, if you choose not to believe me, I've got four other backup witnesses, and one of them is John the Baptist. Now, mark, if you will, in John chapter 5, and let's slip back to John chapter 1. We've already studied this, but it's good to go back and listen to the witness of John. In John chapter 1, if you look at verse number 29, John chapter 1 and verse number 29, we see this. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, jump down, if you will, in verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, and I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Well, that sounds like a pretty strong witness right there. You know, John the Baptist, by the way, who all men went to hear. John the Baptist, who was the most popular prophet of that day. John the Baptist, whom people were repenting of their sins and being baptized. They all wanted to hear John. He was like the celebrity preacher of the day until he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away. Well, no, we're not going to believe him about that. So we have the witness of Jesus himself. We have the witness of John the Baptist. Look, if you will, in verse 35 and verse 36. And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Well, folks, you know, he didn't just say it once. He didn't just say it twice. He said it three times. Not three times in three different gospels where they're just repeating the one thing that he said. These are three different times in the same gospel. Three different times he said, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. By the way, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so John the Baptist was the next witness that Christ brought to convince them of the fact that he was who he claimed to be. Now, verse number 36, let's look at verse number 36. Preacher, who's the third witness that Jesus is going to call? All right, verse number 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. Okay, I've witnessed and given testimony as to who I am. John's given testimony, but I'm going to bring you a greater than John. I don't know how you can argue with this. And he says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So then he says, all right, if you don't want to believe me, then don't believe me. If you don't want to believe John, you think me and him have somehow gotten together and there's this, you know, conspiracy, there's this plan, there's this, you know, facade, there's this trickery, there's this deception that between the two of us to try to sell this. He said, would you please at least consider the works that I've done? Now, folks, I went through and I say 37. Understand as we go through these. Say, preacher, what are you going to do? I'm bringing 37 witnesses to the stand now. Because the works that Jesus did, if you break down the miracles that he did while he was here on earth, you have 37 miracles. Now, that is not exactly true. Because some of the miracles, when I get to the preacher, we're going to go through them. Oh, yeah, 37 people you're going to listen. Listen, if you stand before God one day and say, I didn't believe that your son really was the Son of God, that he really was God the Son, he's going to remind you of sitting in my Sunday school class and having to answer for 37 miracles. Now, some of the miracles I'm going to mention isn't one miracle. It's a group of miracles where he spent an entire day or evening or afternoon healing the sick. Now, that's not just him healing one person. That's him healing multiple people. So how many miracles, preacher? Well, there's 37 different places in Scripture you could say he's performing a miracle or miracles. How many total miracles? Well, I'll let John speak to that, because if you go to the closing verses in the Gospel of John, he said, if everything was written that Jesus did while he was here on earth, the world could not contain the books that should be written. So I don't know. I guess if you went to every person that he had healed, if you told their backstory and you told the miraculous thing that Jesus did for them, and you told about the transformation in their life, that would fill a lot of books. And so, but let me just... Obviously, we don't have time for all of these, but, you know, go into depth. But let me just list them for you. Okay, in John chapter 2, Jesus turns the water into wine at the wedding in Canaan. Okay, he performs this miracle. Think about what he did, demonstrating his power and revealing his divine nature. Okay, and then number 2, Jesus heals the official son in Capernaum in Galilee. And he does this from a distance. He doesn't even go to where the young man is. He just speaks and it happens. And remember, the man is going back and he gets met by the servants and it says, your son has been healed. And he said, well, what hour was it? And they said, exactly at this time. Well, that's the exact moment that Jesus told me that he was going to be healed. Number 3, Jesus drives out an evil spirit from a man in Capernaum. That's in Mark 1, Luke 4. And he's actually in the synagogue at this time preaching. Jesus exorcises an unclean spirit from a man in the synagogue. Now, right in the middle of Jesus speaking and teaching in the synagogue, this man with an unclean spirit, demon-possessed, stands up and starts a ruckus, and Jesus casts it out of him. That's number 3. Number 4, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, sick with fever. Now think about that. That's in Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 4. It's 3 different accounts of the same story. Number 5, Jesus heals many sick and oppressed at evening time. Matthew 8, Mark 1, Luke 4. Jesus heals a lot of sick and oppressed people, fulfilling the prophecy of the Messiah's healing ministry. And he does this of an evening time. We don't know how many. Was it 10? Was it 20? Was it 50? The Bible says it was a multitude. I think that's probably more than 10. Well, what was wrong with them? They were sick and oppressed. What does that mean? Some of them were demonically possessed or oppressed. Some of them were physically. I think the blind got healed that night. I think the lame walked that night. I think the deaf all of a sudden could hear that night. Listen, what he's saying to the Jews is, okay, you don't want to believe me. You don't want to believe John the Baptist. How do you explain these things away? Many of these miracles that happened, the Jews were witness to them. I mean, the critical Jews were witness to them. They just witnessed one in this chapter. And all they could do was, what are you doing carrying your bed? It's a Sabbath day. Who healed you on the Sabbath day? He can't be from God because he's healing sick people on the Sabbath day. I don't care what day it is. If you can heal a sick person, there's probably a pretty good indication that they ought to consider at least that he might be the Messiah. So at evening time. Then number six, the first miraculous catch of fish on the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And he produces a miraculous catch of fish, leading Peter and his company to recognize his divine power. They forsake their boats and follow him. Number seven, Jesus cleanses a man with leprosy. In Matthew chapter 8, you can read again in Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 5. And he restores his health, sends him home healed and changed, and with a brand new lease on life. Number 8, Jesus heals a centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum. Matthew chapter 8, Luke 7. Number 9, Jesus heals someone who's paralyzed, who was let down from the roof. Remember that story? We had four friends that tore the roof up and let him down, and he heals him. Number 10, Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And the Jews rejoice. No, they criticize him for doing it on the Sabbath day. But he heals a man with the withered hand. Number 11, Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead in Nain. Okay, heal, miraculous catch of fish, all of those, casting out evil spirits. But folks, when you're raising someone from the dead, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And from the dead in Nain, Luke chapter 7. Number 12, Jesus calms a storm on the sea. And that's in Matthew 8, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. Number 13, Jesus casts demons into a herd of pigs. Remember that miracle? Pretty neat. And all of a sudden, the man who's been tormented by all these demons is found at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And so number 14, Jesus heals a woman in the crowd with an issue of blood. Remember, she comes and says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Number 15, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter back to life. Another resurrection from the dead. All of these are worthy of a study. I'm just listing them. Number 16, Jesus heals two blind men, restores their sight. And number 17, Jesus heals a man who was unable to speak, mute, demon harassed or possessed. Jesus restores his speech, demonstrates his power over evil forces. Number 18, Jesus heals an invalid at Bethsaida in John chapter number 5. Number 19, Jesus feeds 5,000 plus women and children. By the way, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Amen. You understand the frustration of Christ at this point. They're making accusation. They're mad because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. They're mad because he says that he and his Father are one, that he's made himself equal with God. And he's like, if you don't want to believe me, believe John. If you want to believe John, he said, I got a greater witness than John. I think so far this is probably a greater witness than John. I guess man could say anything. Two people can get together and even try to sell a lie. But how do you explain away this stuff? Okay. And so then we have number 20, Jesus walks on water. I'd like to see the Jews do that. Number 21, Jesus heals many sick over into Samaria in Matthew chapter 14, Mark 6. Number 22, Jesus heals a Gentile woman's demon-possessed daughter, Matthew 15, Mark 7. Number 23, Jesus heals a deaf and a mute man, Mark chapter number 7, restores his hearing and his speech to this man. 24, Jesus feeds 4,000 plus women and children, 7 loaves and 2 fishes. So that's a different than when he fed the 5,000. Number 25, Jesus heals a blind man at Bethsaida. So think about that. Mark chapter number 8. 26, Jesus heals a man born blind. That causes a big commotion in John chapter number 9. Number 27, Jesus heals a boy with an unclean spirit. Remember how his father was so brokenhearted, and he's got this boy that is throwing himself into the water and throwing himself into the fire and trying to commit suicide, and Jesus heals him. Number 28, He needs to pay some taxes. So he looks at Peter and said, why don't you go down and catch a fish and then check in the fish's mouth. So he goes down, catches a fish, comes back, opens the mouth. Jesus like reaches in, pulls a coin out. Here, take this, go pay the taxes. I wish I could pay my taxes that way. Are you kidding me? Number 29, Jesus heals a blind, mute, demonically possessed man, restores his sight and his speech. And number 30, Jesus heals a woman that's been crippled for 18 years. She's unable to straighten up. Again, he exhibits his compassion, his authority over physical ailments. Number 31, Jesus heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath day in Luke chapter 14. Number 32, Jesus cleanses 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. By the way, how many out of the 10 came back and gave glory to God and thanked him? Yeah, just one. Remember that story? But 10 lepers, that seems like maybe they ought to listen to those 10 guys. Number 33, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. 34, Jesus restores sight to Bartimaeus. Remember blind Bartimaeus? The story there happened in Jericho. Wow. He went down the street praising God, leaping and praising God. I don't know how you quiet that down. 35, Jesus withers the fig tree on the road from Bethany, goes and checks a fig tree. It's not bearing fruit, so he curses it, and they leave the same day, and it shriveled down to nothing just because Jesus spoke that. Verse 36, Jesus heals a servant's severed ear while he's being arrested. You know, that's kind of interesting. They're arresting him to put him on trial for claiming that he was the Son of God. And while they are arresting him, Peter decides to take a sword and cut off one of the servant's ears that have been sent to arrest him for claiming to be the Son of God. Are you understanding the irony of this? And Jesus stops and says, Peter, no, put your sword away. And he reaches down, picks up the severed ear, goes like that, puts it on the side of the man's head, and he's healed. Do you think that guy, when he showed up with Jesus, might have said, guys, you might want to believe the man, okay? He just put my ear back on, okay? And so 37, of course, is a post-resurrection miracle of Jesus, both providing a miraculous catch of fish in John chapter 21. We asked to go get disciples and put them back into the ministry. Well, folks, listen. I mean, what do you want to say? We haven't even got to the other ones yet. Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. I'm God the Son. If you don't believe me, believe John the Baptist. If you don't believe the John the Baptist, how in the world did we do all of these things? And then he, in verse number 37, 38, let me finish the last two. He says that my father is one of the witnesses that you might want to listen to. In John chapter 8, John chapter 5, verse 37 and 38. The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom ye have sent, whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And he said, you know what, if you don't believe me, you might believe God the Father. Remember at his baptism? In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, I'd never baptized anybody and heard God speak from heaven and say, yes, that's my Son. Although, in a sense, all of us that received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But he speaks it in testimony and witness. And then in verse number 39, he says, if you don't believe any of these other things, he said, believe the scriptures. You're supposed to be the authorities. You're supposed to be the ones that are the studied ones. You're supposed to know the Old Testament. You're supposed to know the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. If you don't believe me, and you don't believe John, and you don't believe all the miracles, and you won't believe my Heavenly Father speaking from heaven, he says, would you just open the Old Testament And in Luke chapter 24, I'll summarize this because of time, but this is where Jesus is raised from the dead. On the day of his resurrection, there's two men, and they're taking a walk to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking along with them, and why are you so sad? Why is your countenance sad? And well, we thought that there was one that we thought was the Messiah, and yet he's dead, and now there's some reports saying that he's alive, and this is what Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the same things concerning himself. Can you imagine what that was like? I'd love to have Jesus flip through the Old Testament and show, by the way, scholars, Bible scholars say that there's at least 300 or more prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled when he came as the Messiah. 300, some say up to 400, at least 300 Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, proving he was the Messiah. Well, if they still want to stand there after all that and say, I don't believe he's really the Son of God, folks, there's, watch this, we're done. There's ignorant, and then there's willingly ignorant. You know, at some point, if you decide you don't want to believe something, come on, we can be pretty stubborn. Pick whatever it is. You hear these new, some young people are on the internet, some young guys and some even athletes are buying into the whole the earth is flat. The earth is flat theory. I mean, they believe it. And we'll sit there and argue with you that the earth really is flat. Anybody here believe the earth is flat? I don't want to offend anybody because, you know, I mean, hey, who knows? And yet, are you kidding me? You can show them all the evidence in the world and they'll sit there, yeah, well, I hear all that, but it's still flat. And that's how I feel like these people are. Well, yeah, I know what you said. I know John, who's a proven prophet, what he said, and I know 37 times where you performed a miracle or a group of miracles, and the Father spoke from heaven, and the Old Testament lines up and proves with over 300 fulfilled prophecies that I'm the Son of God, but I don't really believe it. Well, you know what? You just are choosing not to believe. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these things. It helps us. It builds our faith, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that you didn't come and just speak of yourself. You understood the Old Testament law. Those that rejected Christ, those that cried, crucify him, those that said his blood be on us and on our children, it's not that they didn't have proof to who he was, but we also understand, Jesus, that you came to die. You came to die and pay for our sins, and we're thankful for that. Bless our service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.